Heavenly Father, we love you. All of our crowns, all of our achievements, all of our gifts, strength, resource, we willingly lay at your feet. And we say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All blessing and glory and honor and power be unto the Lamb who was slain, who alone is worthy to unseal everything and see everything. God, we lay everything before you because you alone are what has brought us to this place. You alone are what has given us all these good things. You alone are what is going to take us through what we're in right now. All glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Too often I treat our church services like a radio talk show or a television program, and no room for dead space. But the Father, in his word, told me that his house would be a house of prayer for the nations. And so I feel rebuked in a wonderful way that the Heavenly Father is telling me, I want it to be more about me and less about you. And I understand that not only is that uncomfortable for me, I'm beginning to realize how uncomfortable that is for all of you. Because we're used to a system. We're used to these rhythms of coming and sitting and walking through the steps. And yet, God, I don't know if you've heard it through all these testimonies, you're just calling us to change. And calling us to believe when it's hard. And there is a deeper walk with Christ, I believe, that he is calling us to. And I see it. I see you doing it. And I appreciate you for answering the call. I appreciate you for not just being a surface Christian. I thank you for your stories. Those of you who didn't share today, there's stories all through this room of what God has done this year. Just because you didn't share doesn't mean that God isn't getting glory for that. So let's think, let's just keep it about him and all that we say and do. Amen? You with me? Amen. Amen. Today I want to be speaking to you, and it won't be too long because I told the children workers that I would not be long, so I am going to keep my word. So what that means is you have to work harder than me to catch what I'm throwing you. Got it? Yeah, all right, there you go. There you go. I was watching the OSU game yesterday with relish. And, you know, some of the commentary actually was quite interesting. Usually I just like to watch the game and basically like I tune out the commentators, right? But they said some things that really hit my heart. And one of the comments that they had made was, you know, it doesn't really matter how good of a quarterback you are if your wide receivers won't catch your passes, right? So it really doesn't matter how wonderful I share the word God's put on my heart if you don't catch it. And so I'm going to do my best to throw it correctly, but man, you got to be working. You know, I can be over here dancing a little bit and throw it, and you know, everybody looks at me and says, look at that quarterback, whoa, look at that quarterback. But really, honestly, the ones who make the plays are the ones who catch the ball, right? So today, whether you feel like a running back just running into a great big mountain of men, or whether you're that wide receiver jumping to catch what God is saying today, this is for you. God wants to see you move forward. And so we're going to read in his word, Psalm 118, verse 16, starting there. And it says this, the strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. the strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. And it changes from looking at the Lord, and now all of a sudden we're looking at us, and it says this: I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. You saw my highlight, didn't you? You're like, that's it. Good. 18. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Let's skip down to verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And so today I titled this, Seize the Day. Seize the day. Grab a hold of this day that we're talking about. The day that the Lord has made. We're not talking about weather. We're not talking about our feelings. We're talking about a product of God's work, of God's grace, of Jesus' ministry, his service, a product, something that he has brought to pass. That's what I'm asking you to seize today, to seize that day. And I want to point out to you several things about this day today to send with you, because you need to catch this. And the first thing is in verse 16, the strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph because God plans to win. God plans to win. And the Lord is speaking this morning, do you plan on him winning? Because God's hands are raised in triumph. He's not second guessing whether or not he's got this. It doesn't matter what the score is at halftime. It doesn't matter how I feel about my strengths and my abilities and my limitations or my resources. It doesn't matter what I see on the outside of this. God has every plan to win. And when I start entering into worry, and when I start entering into doubt, and I start to allow myself to become deflated, I'm buying somebody else's plan. Because God's plan is to win. He has no plan of giving up. And so I want to enter into God's plan. If I'm going to seize this day that the Lord has made, then I got to seize the plans that God has for me. I got to seize the plan that God has for this world. It's easy to look out and become discouraged. There's a lot of people who are doing bad things in this world. There's a lot of things to be concerned about and worried about. There's a lot of things we feel responsible for, and we wonder what step to take next. What is my place in all of this, God? But I want to remind myself that God has plans for a good future. No matter what Babylon you're in today, God has plans to prosper you. Plans to do good for you and his people and the world. He's not put off by all that's going wrong or all that's broken and all that's unjust and unfair. He's not put off by that because he plans to win. His arms are already raised in triumph. He knows who's going to win. Do you? Do you? And so today, to seize this day, we must raise our faith to God and say, I choose to believe something my physical eyes do not see with my children, with my job, with my country, with the way the world is going, with my career. I am going to choose that this is leading me to triumph, because you have plans to win, and I am on your team. I am on your team. There's no, the only choice I've got in this is not win or lose, it's which team I'm on. And I'm choosing Jesus' team, and he has plans to win. Not only is he planning to win, but God will win. It's one thing as a human being, we know this as a fact, that what you intend to do is not always what happens. But I want to tell you, God is not a human. God is a person, but he's not a human. Meaning, he's got intelligence, and he's got feelings and emotions, and he's got intent and motivations. He's got all of that like a human, but he's not a human. He is spirit, and not only is he spirit, but he is the premier spirit. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So what he intends, he can accomplish. And what he says he will do, there is no force in the universe that can stop him from doing it. So when God raises his hands in triumph, what that means is that he has already triumphed. It's as good as done. There's nothing to stop him. There's nothing to stop him. God will win. I remember an old movie. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Newsies, and they have it's a musical. Maybe that's why some of you haven't watched it. But if you want to see Christian Bale in his former glory, it's a good movie to watch. You'll never know that he actually sang, but he sings. Never mind. Moving on. So they have this song in the middle of the movie. It's called Seize the Day. And it talks about open the gates, seize the day. Don't delay. You got to take action, right? This is our time. This is our moment. This is our opportunity. But I'm wondering, which day are you seizing? Which day are you seizing? Because I see here in verse 23 that this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. So not only will God will win, but God will win. So it's not just a matter of what is he going to do, it's a matter of who's going to do it. Who's going to do this? Is it going to be me that is the turnkey or the linchpin of all of this plan? I am so glad to finally find out the answer to that is no. I am not the linchpin to God's plan. God will win. His day is what I'm being asked to seize, not my day. His day, his opportunity, his victory, his triumph. This is important to me. Because often when we think about seizing the day, we're thinking about pulling our own resources up and moving in our own strength, moving in our own courage, moving by our own choice of will, by our own... there's a word I'm looking for. I just see it all the time in movies. The human spirit. They praise the strength of the human spirit to rise up and meet adversity. I agree with that to a point. We have an ability like God to choose what we're going to do with each day. But at the end of the day, if it is my day that I am making, I could possibly be rejecting the main thing. Jesus Christ. I could be working so hard on my job, on my will and my outcomes for my marriage and my family and my children, and totally forget that I'm here to serve my master. My life isn't all up to me and how it ends up. My limitations aren't all up to me. They are really up to God. And as I seize the day, I want to seize the right one. I don't want to seize mine, because that will end up with frustration, bitterness, and possibly my betrayal of God himself. Remember in Hebrews, it talks about a day of rest that God has created And that if we don't choose to enter into his rest, that we are going to be swallowed up in punishment like the ones who rebelled in the wilderness, meaning the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They should have known to follow God's commands because he was the one that saved them from Egypt in the first place. But they forgot who they were and who God was. They were the saved. He was the Savior. And instead, they wanted to make up their own rules for how they lived and how they treated people. And they paid a great price for it because they forgot whose day it was that got made. They thought it was about them. And it wasn't about them. Do you remember who saved you? Do you remember the forgiveness he had to forgive you with? The amount of that? Or do you think that maybe you were a good enough person where he only had to forgive you this much? Do you love much? Because if you don't love much, if you are not exuding acts of humility and openness and care and faithfulness, patience, not being irritable, not being puffed up and proud, then that tells me that you don't know which day you're seizing. You're seizing your own. Because when you seize your own day to make your salvation happen, you get puffed up in knowledge. Because knowledge is power, isn't it not? That is how Adam and Eve sinned in the garden in the first place. You will know things you didn't know before, and you will be like God. So then they take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But the problem was they got the omniscience without the omnipotence. Meaning they knew more, but did not have God-like power to do anything about what they knew. And that's what's happening today in our lives. We know far more things than we have any right to know about our neighbor's business, about the sufferings of the world, about that poor polar bear that's trapped on an ice floe as it's melting, about every political coup in any country, about every person that's starving right now. Do you know how many things weigh on us as we know these things, but we don't have any power to change them? And then we get stuck in that same issue that Adam and Eve had of having knowledge, but no power to do anything about it. And so we get into that same thing. If I just had more knowledge, if I just knew more, if I just knew more, if I just knew more, No. You know enough. You know right and wrong. Are you walking in righteousness? You know enough. Are you entering into rest? Because if your soul is not at rest, you are not seizing the Lord's day, you are seizing your own. You are trying to make your life work for you. Because seizing the Lord's day looks a lot like giving up your agenda for the Lord's. God, I'm hurt, I want to be alone, but you told me to go to church. Well, I'll give up my will and I'll go. Lord, I'm scared about my finances. I think I need to take as much money as I can and just do it all myself. But you told me to give tithes. You told me to give offerings. And so your will be done, not mine. I'm going to do this. And so you enter into his day at that point because you give him control of your finances. I know this is what you've told me to do in my household to raise my children in the ways of the Lord, but I don't know enough Bible, and I don't know how to talk right. I am not good at speaking, but you told me to teach my children the ways of God, that it wasn't all the pastor's or youth pastor's responsibility. So I will say what I can, and I'll do it your way. That's entering into the Lord's day. Not making excuses for seizing your own. So who's winning? Are you winning or is God winning? Is it your day that you're working out, or is it the Lord's day that you're accepting for yourself? Because as much as you try to seize your own day, the more that you will enter into punishment. I'm going to read that to you. Verse 17 says, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. Why did he think he was going to die? Why did the psalmist feel like it was the end, like there was no hope? Well, he says it in verse 18, the Lord has punished me. The Lord has punished me. Why would the Lord punish a saint? Why would there be chastisement for a child of God? I'll tell you why I chastise my children. Because they forget who the parent is. God will not give his glory to a man, including you. You may know all, and you may understand more than most, but if you do not act obediently, he has no choice but to punish you and chastise you. Why? Because blessings and rewards will give you the wrong impression. Blessings and rewards will make you think that it's all on you, and that if you perform better, you get more reward. If you just do righteously enough, then all of these accolades come to you, and God is saying, nope, 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 nope. I resist the proud, whether they're saved or unsaved. Whether you're going to heaven or not, I have to resist you because you're proud. But I will give grace to the humble. Because they're seizing my day. And even though God punishes us, he does not let us die in it. It's for life. God punishes you so that you may live, that you could have a good life. I told you this was going to be quick. I'm going to fulfill my promise. Part of this day has already happened. This psalm is a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a human being. And instead of seizing his day, he gave up his life to die on the cross for all of our sins. And he disappointed a lot of people doing it. So in one sense, we're following a losing Savior. But his hands are raised in triumph. Because he came to win a game, you and I weren't even worried about winning because of how ignorant and in the dark we are. But the game that matters, the game of, I hesitate to say it this way because I know you guys are going to think of it weird, the game of love, God's love, what true love is, the game for your heart to win you to him required him to give himself to you first. He pursues you. So this day has already happened in the sense that your Savior has come to this earth to die for your sins because he wants you to come to him humbly and say, please save me. I want your life to be my life. I want to walk by your rules. That's the day that has already been made, that we rejoice and we're glad in it. But there is a day he is now making that is not yet. He has paid for our healing. Every disease in your body will be healed. He has paid for your prosperity. Every need will be met. He has paid for your eternal salvation. But all of these things are often not yet. They are in the process of being made. As you submit to his day to allow him to make this day for you, your salvation, your miracle that you prayed for this morning, the question is, are you going to allow him to make it in your life and partner with him to do it by surrendering your will to his, saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. So I'm asking you today to enter into the what has been as well as the what's to come. The day that the Lord has made and the day that the Lord is making. If you're not right with the Lord today, I am begging you to take this moment as I pray and admit to Him that you're a sinner and that you need Him to forgive you. And enter into the day the Lord has made for you to be forgiven. That you are not rejected at your death from entering into His presence. We call it heaven, but really it's just being with God. Whatever that looks like. And for those of you who have already entered into that day the Lord has made, salvation for your souls, I'm asking you to enter into the not yet day, the day that's being made in your life. Your kids are going to make it through. They're going to be okay. God is making that day. Your body, you're going to be able to go through life with the body you have. God is making that day of healing. It's just in the not yet phase. I'm asking you to trust Him as you go through your career and all the ups and downs and the dramas of what you go through to figure out who you are and what you have to offer. Because He's making a day of salvation to where you look back and say, okay, this is who I am, this is what I've done, and I am valuable to the world. God's working on all of those days, and I want you to enter into that day today by faith to say, I believe again, Jesus. So I have two prayers today. One, a prayer of salvation. If you've never met Jesus Christ, I want you to pray that prayer with me in your heart and mean it. And then I want you to come talk to me afterwards. I will make myself available right over here. Anybody who needs to tell me, look, I prayed that prayer with you. I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to hear you tell me. I want to hear you tell me if you've done that. And then I'm going to pray a second prayer. For everyone who is saying, God, I'm choosing today to put my trust in the day you're making. It's not always going to be like this. You're going to come through and triumph for me. All right, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I know I've made huge, huge mistakes. I've made my life about me. Jesus, you came to this earth to die for my sins. And so I trust you that you will save me. Be my master. Teach me how to live your way. I will follow you from here to my dying breath. Just teach me how to do it. And give me strength to fulfill the life you want me to fulfill. In Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, please tell me afterwards. I want to celebrate with you. I want to talk to you about next steps. I want to get you plugged into where you're learning more and more about your Savior that you just committed to today. If you're online and you prayed that prayer, I want you to reach out to the church and message us, and I will contact you. I want to help you with the next step. Now, let's pray for those of us who are struggling in faith, that we would pick up our faith and reach for the day the Lord is making. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I realize today that I've been reaching for the day I am making. And Lord, I want to change. I want to repent and instead seize the day you've already made and the day that you are making. Help me to see how to take my hands off of this wheel and let you drive. Father, in these circumstances I have, give me wisdom about how to accept the things I cannot change and let you deal with it. Humble me so that I can be close to you, Jesus. And pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'd all stand with me today, I want to pray a blessing over you. This church is seizing the day that the Lord has made. I'm doing my very utmost not to try to make a day for this place happen on my own. I'm doing my best to follow my own teachings and work with the Lord and with all of you that He's put here. And together, we're going to enter into the day the Lord is making for this church. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, even today in the not yet. Amen. All right, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for this blessed day that you have made and the days that you are making. God, we choose to believe you for this church, Lord God, is going to be strong. Father, I sense the life rising up in us. Lord God, I love the energy of the children. And Lord God, you're bringing more children into this place. Father, I thank you for the faith that you're building up in the parents and the grandparents, Lord Jesus. And I sense that generational momentum happening, and I pray that that increases. And Lord Jesus, I pray for the individual servants here, the ministers here that are called to speak your word and to teach your word and to pray for people. And Father God, I sense that that is growing as well. Lord, that there is a multiplicity of your gifts that is happening right now, that you are decentralizing the work of the ministry. And Father God, I pray that that increases, Lord God, that each one of us would accept our calling to contribute to the body of Christ, and that we would not just be wallflowers watching other people do your work, but Lord, we will do what we can, what is at hand for us to do. And so I bless every member of this body that they would contribute according to the gift you've given them. And Lord God, that no trick of the enemy or our flesh will stand in the way, but your will would be done in this local expression of your body. God, I thank you for the plans you have for us, and we boldly enter into them, even at the cost of our pride, even at the cost, Lord Jesus, of Father, not knowing the total sum of the future. But Lord God, I know you're raised in triumph, and I'm following a winning captain. Lord, I pray a blessing on the food, Lord, and every conversation that we have in the cafe. Lord God, as we celebrate this 38th year that you have made, God, I thank you for the friendships that you're deepening in this body. And I pray that as we're at lunch, Lord God, that we would have good deepening of our friendships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Someone is going to be bringing us pizza here in a little bit, so please hang out in the cafe and enjoy your friends. If you have children, go get them first. Go get the kids first and then go to the cafe, please. All right, I'll see you soon.